Blog Talk Radio.
To the Heart of Love Radio Show, coming to you live from the D.C. Baltimore area. Hope everyone's having a good night wherever you are so far. I know in this D.C. Baltimore area, we have been under a heat warning for the past 2 days, and it is extremely hot here for the end of May. And tonight, what I want to discuss with you guys, I want to talk about the role of women in church. The role of women in church. And I want to discuss this because I think that this is an issue that sometimes some of us have in the church. And so I just want to talk about that tonight, tonight's show, Women in the Ministry. What is your viewpoint of women in the ministry? The number here is 646-595-4311. The number is 646-595-4311. 11. I'm going to go to this song, and then after that, we're going to talk about women in ministry.
Well,
The Heart of Love Radio Show.
This is the Heart of Love radio show. I am your host, G. Wright. You're now finished listening to the sounds of none other than Jay Moss singing Not Afraid. Or basically, it's called Afraid. I apologize for that. But tonight I want to talk about the role of women in the church. This is all coming from me. These are my viewpoints. And this is a paper I actually wrote in while I was in getting my Master of Arts in Religion recently. And it's a topic that is for some denominations something that people consider to be controversial. But even though there is controversy concerning women's role in ministry, the role of women in ministry is effective, biblically supported, and beneficial to the body of Christ. Like in other parts of society, women's contributions are just as important and beneficial as men's contributions. One's worldview of women affects one's view of women in the ministry, as well as in Scripture. To understand women's role in ministry is to understand God's view of women in the Old and New Testaments. Is the role of women in ministry an asset or a detriment to the body of Christ? This is a question that hopefully will be answered tonight. This is my view. These are my viewpoints. And when it came to writing this paper, when it came to discussing the fact about women and their role in ministry, this is something that really... it's something that I had to really look deep within my heart and really pray about. I just wasn't able to just say, you know, the traditional stance, I guess, that in some denominations is that women are not supposed to be in any kind of leadership, especially over a man. So that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. You know, And that's what I want to talk about tonight. The number here is 646-595-4311. But first of all, I believe that the role of women in ministry is effective. They have certain traits and characteristics that men do not possess, which is the way God designed the male-female relationship. In Genesis 2:20, it mentions that God did not have a suitable helper for Adam, so he created the woman to complement the man. It is a fact that God created the man first and created the woman from the man's rib. However, he also created the woman with the mind, ability, and a will. Although they are both made in God's image, they both have different and distinct functions, and their effectiveness is not predicated upon by gender, but by ability within the proper function. Ephesians 4:11-13 says, "So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." That's my scriptural references are coming from the NIV, the New International Version. Women can effectively do these tasks. They can preach biblically, that is, verbally communicate a message that is rooted in Scripture as God's spokesman to both the saved and unsaved, with the ultimate intention of bringing the hearers into Christian maturity and conformity. Now, Phoebe Palmer, she's also known as a mother of the holiness movement, along with her husband, and Catherine Coleman are examples of powerful female preachers who effectively preached the gospel and touched and changed lives. In fact, men, women, ministers and bishops attended Palmer's weekly religious meetings. Within other parts of society, women have been effective, for example, in law and politics. In fact, They generally have more freedom to exercise their gifts and abilities in the secular world of law and politics than in the church. However, they can be equally as effective in the church. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, "All these are the work of one in the same spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines." Therefore, women's role in ministry is effective also because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sovereignly bestows ministry gifts on both men and women and draws them to participate in God's redemptive work. Now, listen to this. Early church witness recognized the effectiveness of women in ministry. In fact, women were prominent leaders in the early church up to and after the middle of the second century. However, by the third and fourth centuries, women's role in ministry was opposed in such documents as the Didascalia Apostolorum. Although they lived in a patriarchal or hierarchical society, they understood the effective roles of both Deborah, a prophetess, as one of the judges of Israel in Judges chapters 4 to 5, and Huldah, another prophetess used by God in 2 Kings 22:14. In Matthew 28:9-10, Jesus first appeared to women and told them to go tell his disciples to meet him in the appointed place. Jesus used a Samaritan woman and her testimony to reach other Samaritans with the gospel. Look at John 4, verses 39 to 42. Then Acts 21, verse 19 discusses how Philip's daughters prophesied under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and in Romans 16, Phoebe, Priscilla, and Junius were mentioned as having specific, important, and effective roles in the ministry. The early church understood that everyone was a part of the body of Christ and had specific tasks and functions, and there was a respect and genuine love for one another. Women opened their homes to other believers for meetings and fellowship, and sometimes worked alongside their mate, such as with Priscilla and Aquila. Men were encouraged to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and women were encouraged to respect and love their husbands, a mutual respect for each other as the body of Christ and for each other's role. As with any culture or society, change is inevitable. However, women still have an effective role. Women's role in the ministry has in some ways come even more in the forefront than ever before, especially as a result of the feminist movement and one of many heated debates on this issue by Christians for Biblical Equality and the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. Christians for Biblical Equality believe that God equips and calls people into ministry regardless of gender, while the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood supports restrictions on women in public leadership roles within the ministry. Another heated debate is between the traditional views of complementarians or hierarchical who believe or support that the male leadership is biblical because of the creation narrative and biblical illustrations, and egalitarians who believe that distinctions should not be based on gender but on equality and ability. Complementarians based on 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 11 to 15 believe the following: that the ultimate leadership roles within the church, like the office of elder, overseer, pastor, belongs to men who desire to equip the saints for ministry through teaching and oversight. And, two, that this teaching and authority uniquely belongs to men and not women. On the other hand, egalitarians view resistance to women's leadership within the church as an issue or struggle against inequality of men and women, and as a battle for justice and human rights. The real issue here is if it is biblical for women to occupy leadership roles over men, or if it is biblical to respect that the Holy Spirit can use whomever he calls into leadership roles. You know, I just want to say a shout out to my boy, Robert Wesley, of the Robert Wesley Branch Show, who's actually listening right now, and I have another guest. And, yes, and I'll say I appreciate you guys for tuning in, because sometimes I've had some difficulties with the show and staying on, so I'm glad you guys are with me today. I just want to say, yeah, there's some churches that actually still do have a problem with women in the ministry. In fact, this book entitled The Problem with Women in Ministry, the authors in this particular book write the following: our Christian subculture trails secular society in recognizing that gifts, abilities, and callings are not gender exclusive. Let me read that again. Our Christian subculture trails secular society in recognizing that gifts, abilities, and callings are not gender exclusive. The body of Christ must recognize the effective role women play in the church, even more so for the Holy Spirit's working within women. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives gifts to whomever he pleases in order to produce effectiveness within the body, the entire body. When the Spirit as the sole source of gifting and power for effective ministry is not understood, women's leadership in ministry may be suppressed. Again, when the Spirit as the sole source of gifting and power for effective ministry is not understood, women's leadership in ministry may be suppressed. This is another great loss that occurs when the Holy Spirit is neglected or ignored. We're going to go to this song by Kirk Franklin, Hello Fear, and I'll be back with my second point.
Hello Fear.
glory.
Never knew
how you never would try of forgiveness. Didn't know how bad it was. Was afraid just because
I was afraid.
Sorry, dear, when took your place. So
I waited my whole life to say this. Come on.
Never again will I trouble you.
That chapter's over. Set me free.
No longer your friend.
Hallelujah.
Today I remember.
Far away from you.
Apart from you is where I belong.
See, I got a new love now, y'all.
Never,
help me.
Never again will I trust you.
See, I'm not fighting with you no more.
Right, and you're listening to the Heart of Love radio show. If you're just tuning in tonight, we are talking about a topic that is still controversial for some circles. So that involves the role of women in the church. Yes, yes, it does. Yes, it does. You know, we're having a great time in our chat room. I just want to send a shout out to my boys. I have Robert Wesley of the Robert Wesley Branch Show, my boy John McLeod. And I have an unidentified guest. You know, I've got to say this, and we'll come back to that question that you're asking in a minute, Robert. Well, I've talked about the role of women being effective. The role of women in ministry is also biblically supported throughout the Old and New Testaments. As mentioned earlier, early church witness recognized women in ministry. In a patriarchal and male-dominated society, Israel understood that God called the prophetess Deborah, the only female judge in Judges chapters 4 through 5, to lead his people. They also understood God and used the prophetess Huldah to speak and proclaim God's message in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 14. Now, because of the patriarchal culture of their day, these roles were not normative. However, God still used these women who were ultimately respected by most, but not by all. Jesus also recognized the role of women. In fact, his interaction with and ministry to women spoke of his acceptance of women, his belief in their equality to men and their leadership. Check out Luke chapters 8, verses 1 through 3. They were some of his most loyal followers, even supported him financially, among other things. He recognized and accepted the ministry of the women with the alabaster box in Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13. While his disciples were angry with the woman, Jesus understood and validated her ministerial role. Now, furthermore, Peter, Paul, and the other disciples recognized that women had a biblically supported role. In Peter's first sermon at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 21, he quoted Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, where he prophesied that God would pour out his spirit on all flesh. Now, this all flesh includes both men and women. Paul also recognized the role of women, the role women play as well for women as such as Priscilla, Phoebe, and Junius, who helped him in the ministry. Their gender was not an issue concerning their role in ministry as children of God. Now, one's ontological perspective concerning gender will affect how one views women in ministry and whether or not women have a biblically supported role. Now, the word ontological, that refers to the whole essence of creation, the whole essence of humanity. So one's ontological perspective concerning gender will affect how one views women in ministry and whether or not women have a biblically supported role. The issue is whether or not human nature should be divided into two types, male or female, which is a complementarian view, or if it is one nature shared by both males and females, the egalitarian view. Now, in Carrie L. Bates' article, Gender Ontology and Women in Ministry in the Early Church, she discusses and examines in detail the viewpoints of the post-apostolic writers, post-apostolic women writers, and present-day gender teachings along with the biblical texts on the subject and gives a deeper look into the true biblical concept concerning women's role in ministry. She writes, gender ontology influences which texts readers view as filters for their interpretation of other biblical passages that refer to women in the church. Again, let me say that again. Gender ontology influences which texts readers view as filters for their interpretation of other biblical passages that refer to women in the church. Also, one's worldview concerning the female gender affects how women are viewed within Scripture. Now, you might hear me saying some terms that you might not understand, but I have to say this. When you say worldview, everyone has a worldview. A worldview is how you view the world. It's how you see the world through your set of lenses, through your, whether it's based on your socioeconomic parts, your socioeconomic status, your race status, your whole bunch of things, how you view the world and how you view your particular race views the world and sees the world and problems within the world. That's worldview. So if one holds to a traditional or complementarian view, then one will view women's role as inferior to that of men. However, if one holds to an egalitarian view, then one will see countless examples as to the validity of mutual equality between men and women. Now, Paul's view of women has become the source of much heated debate within Christianity, specifically based on 1 Timothy 2:11 through 15. Now, if I have female hearers who are actually listening, and even those who have been in church, you've all heard and will know what I'm about to say right now about this particular scripture. In verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, Paul writes that women should learn in full quietness and full submission, and then goes on to say in verse 12 that women should not teach or have authority over a man, but must be silent. Now, essentialists, also known as traditionalists, who view 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 15 literally, believe that this is a transcultural principle that should be still observed today. Transcultural principle is a principle that that remains in effect throughout the different cultures, throughout the different times, and such on. Now, I have to say this. However, Paul writes in Galatians 3:27-28 the following. He writes, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus." You see, Paul has written in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts freely to whom he desires. And it was never based upon gender, but upon one heart of service to the Lord. Serving is the ability to relate to people in such a way that their dignity as human beings is affirmed and they are more empowered to live God-glorifying lives, to which women are capable of doing and have done, even in Paul's ministry. Therefore, one has to look more closely at the historical context in which Paul was addressing when he was writing 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. It first must be noted that Paul did not write this neither as a church organization manual nor as a text on church administration, but was addressing Timothy as how to deal with the false teachers who were threatening the Ephesian church via the women. With this in mind, this was not a universal or transcultural message, but a specific address to a specific church with a specific issue. Furthermore, as noted in Romans chapter 12 verses 5 through 8 and 1 Corinthians 12:12-31, Paul viewed unity within the body of Christ as one that recognized and accepted the abilities and gifts of other believers. This can be seen in his relationship with Andronicus and Junius, a female, whom he described as his fellow prisoners in Romans 16:7. You see, Paul supported decency, order, and mutual respect within the body of Christ, which also includes women. Now, this next part that I'm about to read for you guys and discuss with you is something that that I really need you guys to listen to. Although it can be proven that women have a biblically supported role in ministry, there is still denominational opposition to the role of women in ministry. In fact, this issue has engulfed every realm of evangelicalism. Protestant congregations officially recognize women in all leadership, while many evangelical groups are still divisive on the issue. For example, the Christian Reformed Church and the Mennonite Brethren, these two. You see, the Southern Baptist denomination is very fundamentalist, which have and continue to affect the lives of women and their role within their denomination. If a woman within this denomination expresses a call to the ministry, she is often humiliated, degraded, and even harassed by men. Amber Louise Cook wrote an article that discusses the historical and the current viewpoints of this denomination, their stance on the biblical support of their position, and the arguments and responses to their position by women inside and outside of this denomination. At the end of her article, she writes, and she wrote, "Even 20 years after the study was conducted," the study that she had prepared and done, "women who insist on fighting for their rights to serve in church leadership continue to be screamed at, humiliated, and even physically abused." On the other hand, the French Assemblies of God, aka Pentecostals, held inconsistent views of women's role in ministry, which caused division and stifled church growth. In its purest form, classical Pentecostalism, practicing the biblical concepts of call, gifting, and anointing welcomed women ministers but lacked resources to adequately address the doctrinal difficulties raised by traditional denominations. Consequently, practice suffered in some places, including France. Instead of realizing women's role in ministry and working together as the body of Christ to reach the lost with the good news, denominations are not valuing women as image bearers of God and remain divisive over the biblical support of women in leadership, especially over men. I'm going to go to take this break. We're going to go to the Cephas Sisters. This is Here I Am. This is G. Wright, and you're listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show.
Wondering where Hello, this is G. Wright, and you're listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show. Don't go anywhere, there's more to come your way. So sit back, relax, and continue to enjoy the show.
You know, I do have to say this, guys. You are listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show. And the number here is 646-595-4311. Yeah, you know what? You know, I have to say this. John McLeod and Robert Wesley, they are telling some great, great, great points in this chat room. You know, you know, and so wow, they're just sharing so much wisdom in here. We're talking about tonight the role of women in the church. So I've already said that the role of women is effective. The role of women is also biblically supported. My third point tonight is that the role of women in ministry is also beneficial. Although this is a broad term, what is meant is that the role of women in ministry continues to produce fruit, whether good or bad, like that of a man. First, Luke 6:44 says, "Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars." Second, John 15:8 says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Third, Jesus went on to say in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Although Jesus was talking to his disciples, this message pertains to everyone, including women. Women's contribution to the proclamation of Jesus Christ is still beneficial to the ministry at large. Women can work in the vineyards alongside men in various roles as called and led by God and can bring and touch millions of lives as well. F.F. Bosworth, a Pentecostal pioneer who played a pivotal role in the Azusa Street and the post-World War II revivals, endorsed and collaborated with women in ministry. In fact, women contributed greatly to both this Pentecostal minister's life and ministry. Because of his worldview and ontological perspective concerning women in ministry, he did the following. He respected them, supported them, and relied on them for spiritual nourishment. And though it was unpopular in his day, he also viewed them as partners or co-equals in the ministry. First, women have an ability to reach new audiences. Aside from the liberalist and feminist agendas, God created women with an ability to reach the audiences they are supposed to reach. It is a fact that the Holy Spirit gives everyone different spiritual gifts, which allows everyone to reach the people God intends to be reached. It is also a fact that based on Ephesians 4:11-13, women can build up the body of Christ in the role of an apostle, prophetess, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. For example, women are able to preach the word of God in the role as a preacher and reach new audiences. Besides, the preacher's task should be to faithfully translate the Bible into modern language and thought categories and to make it present in our day. The success of women in ministry is well documented and can be seen in lives of successful female preachers such as Joyce Myers, Paula White, Shirley Caesar, and the list goes on. This truly is a benefit to the body of Christ because women are different from men and can offer a biblical but yet different theological approach to the Scripture. Second, church growth can be an added benefit in which women are able to produce. The issue raised from the fundamentalists is whether it is biblical for women to attribute to any kind of leadership, especially over a man. As seen in the life of Paul, women can work alongside men in spreading the gospel. He even used the same verb to labor or to toil when referring to women, for example, Tryphena, Typhosa, Mary, Persis in Romans 16, 6-12, and Euodia and Syntyche, I did my best to say that, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 2-3. As a result, women can have a beneficial role in helping the church grow by witnessing and sharing Christ alongside men. Gender is not a pre-qualification in helping the church grow. One's heart, belief in Christ, and obedience to God's word are the pre-qualifying factors, and the benefits of female workers in God's vineyards are just as rewarding and uplifting. Third, women can have a ministry to women, in particular, that is rewarding and beneficial. Titus 2:4 discusses how the older women can train the younger women to love their husbands and children. Feminists and liberationists, might disagree with this statement and feel that this is too constraining for women. However, theologically, women sometimes are able to reach other women in ways that men are not able. It is true that older women can teach younger women how to take care of their homes. Women in ministry as a whole can also teach women across the board on how to be better and godly women, wives, mothers, and overall Christians. Ministry to women is something that cannot be taken lightly. It can be such a benefit to the body of Christ because there are generally more women in the church than there are men, especially in the African-American communities. Women can relate and in some instances can receive better from women than from men. The issue is not that women cannot minister to men, but rather that in addition to this, they can effectively relate and also teach other women godly principles which they can use in their daily lives. This also benefits the body of Christ. Now, the role of women ministering to other women is definitely beneficial. And the picture here is much bigger than women's recurring role within certain denominations as, quote unquote, guest speaker for women's days, revivals, and conferences, quote unquote. And you guys, you know I'm telling the truth. You know what I'm saying right now. I've seen this where women might be on the podium, but they're not going to preach unless it's women's day, but they're preaching for a revival or conference that is directed more so towards a female audience. Now, just like men can minister to other men concerning specific issues, women as well can do the same. The role of women ministering to other women should not be frowned upon. This aspect of women's role in ministry is both beneficial and relevant to the building up of God's kingdom. In conclusion, regardless of the specific ministerial position of women in ministry, women's role in ministry is just as vital as men's role and is definitely an asset to the body of Christ. Speaking God's message of hope is never a detriment. Instead of viewing this issue as one that is divisive, we should strive to better biblically understand Christ's purpose for everyone within his body and come to a reasonable and mutual respect, valuing each other's calling. This will only change with time. However, now I don't need you guys to listen to this. However, what women must remember and realize is that their role in ministry is beneficial not because of the power of authority, but because of whom they are in Christ as God's image bearers. The only way their role can be non-effective is if they acquire a competitive spirit with men and forget to continue to be women in their God-given calling, which is one reason why some women have failed in ministry. Let me say this again. The only way their role can be non-effective, is if they acquire a competitive spirit with men and forget to continue to be women in their God-given calling, which is one reason why some women have failed in ministry. Now, these are my particular viewpoints. These are how I feel. These are my points and how I feel about women in ministry. You know, it took me a while to actually get to that point. It's taken them a while to get to this point. It's taken me a while, personally, to even get to this point concerning women in ministry. However, after much studying, I've come to this conclusion that women indeed have roles in ministry. Their role is effective, biblically supported, and beneficial. You know, I know that we have about a minute and 33 seconds left in the show, but I definitely appreciate my boys, John McCloyd and Robert Wesley of the Robert Wesley Brandt Show coming in tonight. Thank you guys for making this show a favorite of yours. You know, you guys, let me tell you this, it took me a long time to even write this paper. In my bibliography, if you want to know the bibliography that I used to write this paper, I will email you everything. I'll email you the bibliography. But my email address is gwrightonline@yahoo.com. Feel free to visit me on iTunes. You know, my CD project entitled All Things Are Possible Special Edition. My official website is gwrightonline.com. And you can hit me up on Facebook as well. Thank you, Robert, for coming through. And thank you, John, for coming through as well. I appreciate you. And, you know, I appreciate you. And I just want to say thank you guys for everything. And I hope that something spoken tonight has touched you. And your discussion and everything, your input in the show tonight really has touched me as well, John and Robert. So maybe Thursday or next Tuesday, I can have you guys actually on the show. You guys can just come on and we can talk about a whole bunch of issues and just have an open forum, something like that. But I appreciate you guys for coming through. I want to say God bless you. Thank you for making the show a favorite of yours. And I'm going to leave you tonight with a song, and I hope this song touches your heart. Wherever you are, you can return back to the Lord. And this is Pastor Evangelist. I'm not sure about Pastor, but this is Evangelist Lorinda Clark Cole. Return. God bless you, and I will see you again this coming Thursday from 6 to 7. God bless.
Hey, Dorinda. Some of our brothers and sisters, they feel like God has left them.